When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino. With cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to the Cricket Badger IPL Daily Podcast 2021. The Indian Premier League 14th edition. It's great to have you with us. From the first match all the way to the final. Chennai Super Kings, Delhi Capitals, Kolkata Knight Riders, Mumbai Indians, Punjab Kings, Rajasthan Royals, Royal Challengers, Bangalore, Sunrisers, Hyderabad. May the best team win. Brought to you in association with Who Knows Wins. Put your money where your mates are and play along with the Cricket Badger.
Hello everybody, welcome along. It's the IPL 2021 Daily. And unfortunately, it's the last one for a while because we made the decision that rather than just carry on talking about the same things every day for the foreseeable until we get further news on the IPL, we will just put a hold on these IPL Daily podcasts until hopefully the competition gets rearranged and replayed later on in the year. So we'll get all of the fan badges back if that is the case. And if it is obviously cancelled and we don't hear from it again, this is it. Basically, this is the final podcast. So hopefully there will be more possibly in September. We'll talk about that in just a second. We've got Nakul and Naman on for one final time in this run of the podcast. And Naman, just talking to you before we press record there, a lot of talk about the IPL and whether it's going to come back. And if it does come back, I've seen three countries mentioned, England being one, Australia being another, and the UAE being the third option there. There's advantages to each of those. I mean, obviously with the English version of that, you've got the Indian team over in England this summer. So it would be them basically staying on for the IPL. You mentioned to me that they're talking about maybe the T20 World Cup being swapped to Australia this time around. So that would be where the Australian IPL edition comes into it, playing that before the T20 World Cup in Australia. And then obviously the UAE has a bit of a rehash of last season. If you were to be a betting man then, Naman, where would you put your money in terms of the most likely country for the IPL to be staged in if it is to return?
I feel it would be Australia also because plenty of players in IPL are also from Australia, and getting their availability is also a major thing. Also following T20 World Cup, it would be Big Bash as well. So overall, for me, the major point over here is the country hosting the T20 World Cup will be preferred as the best location for IPL for hosting it, because it will be easier to get the players and also their availability from various countries as well, because they would want their players to get the feel of the wickets and feel of the grounds where the World Cup is going to be hosted. So overall, I feel if it is Australia, I feel Australia would be the best, because we have already seen UAE, and I feel that the cases are rising over there. And just as we saw last year, even the Big Bash India-Australia series, every match has had people on the ground. So I feel it's more safer than UAE, because we have witnessed discussed already what how Australia have hosted the series or Test series and Big Bash along with the people on the ground. So I feel that would be the major criteria considering Australia moving on.
Yeah, I mean, I was speaking to somebody in the UAE actually yesterday. They were saying that, you know, it's not perfect there by any means, COVID at the current time. I mean, COVID moves on in cycles, doesn't it? I mean, we're talking about September. The world could look a lot different by then.
Who knows wins? Download our app right now from the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store and play against your friends with bragging rights and real money on the line. Who knows wins? Put your money where your mates are. Who knows wins? In a league of their own.
Knuckle, would you be in agreement that Naaman's suggesting maybe Australia is the favourite?
I don't know that there is a favourite right now, to be honest, James. There's so many logistical and calendar complications with rescheduling it anywhere, really. England already has an awful lot of cricket going on this summer. If you look at all of the domestic competitions, full men's and women's calendars, and then also you have the possibility and high possibility of weather intervening when in England. I know September is actually not a bad month here. It's quite warm.
And rather nicely, we call it an Indian summer when it's nice in September, don't we?
Well, indeed. And it often is. But still, weather could interrupt things and it'll already be a very tight window. There's no chance for rescheduling. Australia, it's very early in the Australian season to be having it in September. We know Australia's attitudes towards bringing players into the country from overseas. And, you know, that may change when the COVID situation improves by then. But that seems logistically difficult. The UAE seems the most obvious choice in terms of, you know, the facilities are pretty much set up and ready to go. And it's very well self-contained so that you can drive between venues, which presumably you couldn't do in, say, Australia. I know there are a few venues in Melbourne and Sydney, but you can drive between venues. The bubbling is easier. The hotel capacity is there. But the window is so tight to get the T20 World Cup happening and organised. And I don't think there is much appetite. I don't think there will be much appetite for moving the T20 World Cup again, which has already happened. If it has to go to the UAE because of COVID, that's fine. But moving it to a whole different host country, you know, Australia is meant to be hosting it next year, for example. But Australia was meant to be hosting it this year with India hosting it last year.
I mean, the suggestion, Michael, is that the India and Australia are talking about swapping. So Australia host it this time, then India get it back the year after.
That's kind of already happened. I think that this is an awful lot of moving around of this, yeah, of this tournament. And I don't know how much appetite there will be for that, given that we are closer to that tournament. I have to say, I don't think the IPL will happen later this year just because of all of those logistical considerations.
Neil was very good on the podcast yesterday. I mean, Neil's an accountant. He pours over the figures and the finances of all of this. And he was suggesting that the IPL, we seem from a distance, we look at the IPL as being just making India rich. But Neil was going through the various cases that, you know, South African cricket will suffer a lot. You know, the money gets moved around into different places. Obviously, it goes to the players who then go off to their own countries as well. But yeah, the Australian Cricket Association takes 10% of any Australians' money that plays in the IPL. The ECB and the counties benefit from the fact that English players play in the competition too. So there are repercussions of stopping this IPL. And that's before you even think about the sponsors and the TV broadcast rights. And they are huge amounts of money. And if the IPL has to refund all of those guys, you're looking at a check with a serious number on, aren't you? So the appetite is financial, isn't it? To finish this off, it is to avoid having to refund all of these people. The knock-on effects of cancelling it are big.
They are big. It's financial and sporting. You know, it feels incomplete to have a...
Oh, we want to find out who wins it, don't we? Yeah.
For the tournament to be literally incomplete. But yes, the financial implications are massive. There are boards who will portion in IPL revenue or revenue for players playing in the IPL as a part of their annual budget. There are cricketers who will be relying on this as a part of their annual income. And we just don't know how all of that is going to be sorted out. There's presumably some kind of insurance situation involved, and how much that is able to bail out or how much of that is able to help out the IPL and the BCCI in terms of meeting all of the financial obligations remains to be seen. It is going to be very complicated, but if you can't host it, you can't host it. I mean, at some point, the sheer logistics may have to get in the way. I'm not saying this is what I want to happen. I'm saying that this is my best estimate as to what will happen.
Just one last question to you, Knuckle, before I go back to Naaman. But if you were to play, I mean, what people are suggesting, what the favourite seems to be at the moment, if there is going to be a resumption of the IPL, is that it's played before a T20 World Cup so that players go to that country to play the IPL and then move into their national side. What appetite is there? I mean, obviously the finances are going to play a part in this because, as we've just mentioned, some of these countries benefit from the IPL. But does that counterbalance a country's preparation for a T20 World Cup? I mean, England, for example, if England announced their squad, go to that country, in normal circumstances, they would be all there training together. They play warm-up matches against other nations and ahead of a global competition. England arrive in a country without their captain, Owen Morgan, who's with KKR, in a bubble somewhere else. They've got Josh Butler somewhere else. Ben Stokes might be fit again by then and be somewhere else. That's not ideal preparation for the nation, is it?
No, it wouldn't be. But I think we're past the stage of ideal, to be honest, James, for everyone. How much time and together they would have got to actually train is up in the air anyway, given the quarantine restrictions on
yeah, I mean, that's a really good point because we've seen on the tours recently, they land and literally play the first test match straight away, don't they?
Well, almost. I don't know how many warm-up games they would have had scheduled. I don't know how soon or how long before the tournament they could have possibly arrived in the UAE, given that the end of the English season had to be completed. There would have been a little bit of time off, but not all that much between the end of England's international commitments and the domestic season and the start of the T20 World Cup. I mean, also they were meant to be going to Pakistan this autumn for two T20s. I don't know if that's now happening. So we're past the stage of ideal in that sense. You know, you could argue that the players would actually have had more practice because they'll be familiar with the conditions and be match fit. My worry with that is if it's in the same country, that the pitches would be absolutely knackered before the tournament starts.
Yeah, yeah. There's so much, isn't there? They're basically juggling about 20 balls and it only takes one to fall and the IPL won't resume. I think it's as simple as that. BlackRatCricket.co.uk. You've probably spent lockdown dreaming about scoring runs and taking wickets. Well, let Black Rat Cricket kit you out and take you towards success. BlackRatCricket.co.uk. They've got a swanky new website. And if you quote Badger when you check out, you can get yourself 15% off. BlackRatCricket.co.uk. Join the infestation. Naaman, I mean, going back to India at the moment, obviously over here in England, we're very concerned about our friends over there in India. We've seen horrific pictures of COVID on the TV. COVID's obviously stopped the IPL, but how are you and your family? And you're in Mumbai. Are things settling down? Is there any sign of things getting better?
Yes, things are pretty much improving, but not drastically owing to the population of Mumbai as well. Overall, India's population is huge and compared to that, Mumbai is even more enormous compared to other cities as well. So yes, the condition is improving. Government is trying to provide the vaccines to each and everyone. So getting vaccinated to almost this 130 crore population is not small amount of task. So it is going to take time. But I feel from 1 month from now on, at least till June of 15th, I feel it should be good. Everything should be really nice from what the situation is right now.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen everywhere, haven't we? When we've had horrific spikes in other countries, it does ultimately settle down and things do get better. So hopefully that happens sooner rather than later for you and everybody else over there in India. What's the mood in the nation, in the press, in the country about the IPL finishing? Are people, I mean, I'd imagine people understand why it's happened, but I also imagine people are pretty disappointed that their main tournament's finished.
Absolutely. Just not only nation, like I had 4 WhatsApp groups and all were just talking about IPL and cricket matches day in, day out, even before the match starts and after the match ends. It was so much buzz all around and it was so much positivity and something to talk about. But last 2 days, it has been so boring. Nothing to do after the office work. And it's literally, we are just spending time and waiting for the cricket match to start, at least some cricket to watch when New Zealand and England will play the test series. Apart from them, yes, all the cricket fans, especially Mumbai is a hub of cricket, so very much disappointed. And you know, like IPL is also followed here as a religion. So right now, to be honest, it was the best time as there is nothing to do and all are at home. And it's been more than 2 months where it's almost a lockdown situation. So yes, the people are upset right now, but they are just trying to move on and waiting for the cricket to come up.
And Naman, during IPL 2020, you got married, didn't you? And your first months of marriage aren't particularly exactly what you would have anticipated when you were younger growing up and you were imagining getting married, going on a honeymoon and having wonderful experiences in the early stages of married life. You've been in lockdown for most of it, haven't you?
Yes, almost. Like even in my wedding, there were not more than 50 to 70 people. We had to cut short everything and not even a single individual would have dreamt of for a wedding like that. And it's now almost 6 months in May and we are still at home, not gone anywhere. We have not gone anywhere. So yes, we're trying to deal with it. And in November, we'll be completing 1 year and along with this COVID as well. So it's tough to deal with this situation. But we are expecting too much from the government. But it is our responsibility also to help them by staying at home right now. It's a hard situation and we need to deal with this and come out stronger than ever before.
Well, if your lovely wife can put up with 6 months of you in lockdown, then that bodes well for the future, doesn't it?
We just read news of Bill Gates today's
I imagine, Naman, you got maybe less in the bank than Bill Gates has got. So you're, if you were to ever get divorced, your divorce settlement would be a little bit less than Bill Gates's, I would think. Nicole, coming back to you, we're looking ahead to the summer now. Obviously, you know, as soon as cricket fans, as soon as one thing finishes, we look ahead to the next thing. The Indian team for the England tour isn't too far away from being announced. They're going to have to come over and quarantine and get ready for playing that test series, which obviously follows on from the New Zealand series in the summer. So, yeah, for cricket fans, there's always something to look forward to, isn't there?
There is, and the World Test Championship final before that, of course.
Yes, indeed.
New Zealand have named their extended squad for the England series, which will get trimmed down to 15 from the 20 that they've named. A couple of new names to watch for. Devon Conway, who's been making waves in New Zealand domestic cricket. Sorry, I should say Somerset's Devon Conway after the news yesterday. And he's been making waves in domestic cricket for a number of years, and he's had a fantastic start to his white ball international career. Rachin Ravindra, who's come up through the under-19 circuit, is a very solid and very technically well put together player. Those are the kind of the new names to watch for. The rest, it's who you'd expect. New Zealand's a very well-settled team. The only issue that they've got is Ross Taylor has a bit of a calf injury, but is expected to travel with the team to England. For India, I'd imagine we now know that the India A versus India competitive fixture is not going to happen. The India A tour is being cancelled that was going to happen. They were going to play two counties plus the full India team. So what's going to happen now is that there'll be a larger than usual India squad coming over for the World Test Championship and for the Test Series, which will have enough personnel in it to cover for COVID problems and provide opposition in terms of net bowlers and in terms of centre wicket practices. As a result, I wouldn't expect there to be too many surprises in terms of big players or big names left out. The one I can think who might struggle off the top of my head is Kuldeep Yadav, depending on how many seamers and spinners they go in with. Kuldeep's stock has fallen in the last couple of years, and he's now vulnerable with Ashwin, Jadeja, Akshar, Washington, Sundar. I think those four will go. Whether they pick a fifth, who knows, maybe he would have gone as part of the India A tour, but everyone else seems to be fit again. I mean, Bhuvneshwar Kumar is fit again, Mohammad Shami is fit again, in terms of bowlers who missed the England series when India toured. Umesh Yadav, I think, is the one who has a slight fitness doubt over him. He didn't play during this IPL. So I wouldn't expect too many surprises in terms of who is actually in the squad, and there might well be some India A regulars and strong domestic performers who make the tour in some capacity.
One of the things that is true for both teams, really, England and India, but India very much so, is that, you know, even the seasoned pros, there's very few that are massively secure in that side. Everybody's, to an extent, is looking over their shoulder because there's so much strength in depth and so many good youngsters coming through. And we've seen a lot of them blooded over the last 12 months and come in and made waves on the international stage straight away. So very healthy competition.
There is. That said, I'm barely sure that I know the vast majority of India's team for the World Test Championship final. Now, obviously, the India Test Series, there will be rotation among the fast bowlers, and there's the depth to do that on both sides. I'm really looking forward to this series. It's going to be an absolute cracker, I think.
Absolutely. And are you the same, Naman? Are you looking forward to the summer in England with the World Test Championship and the series against England? It should be, as Nackle said, it should be an absolute rip-snorter of a Test Series, shouldn't it?
Yes, 100%. And to be honest, I'm a huge Test cricket fan and know much better host than England watching test cricket over there. And it's going to be a tough series, and expecting the best from India as well. Apart from that, yes, we have set a benchmark. And now, England has lost this series and they are going to come hard. Also, they have their home advantage. So, it is going to be really interesting how India goes on from here and how they play in the final and also against the England. So, it's a huge challenge for India as well. And before the T20 World Cup and IPL and CPL and everything, it's good to see so much red ball cricket from now on.
Badgers are furry creatures. 85% of women badgers think bad grooming is a major turn-off. 80% of women badgers think men should trim below the belt. 89% of men think good grooming is essential to their professional success. Don't just dismiss it out of hand. Get on there, manscaped.com. Check out their great range of male grooming accessories. Hygiene, appearance, attractiveness, confidence. Simply go to manscaped.com, quote the discount code BADGER. You get 20% off, you get free shipping, and you get some seriously quality equipment. Manscaped.com. Together, we save balls.
Let's go back to the IPL then, just to finish up and wrap up this hopefully first half of this podcast series. Hopefully we will be back to look at the second half of the IPL should it get rearranged. Now, man, you're a CSK fan on our podcast. I described you yesterday as an MSD fanatic. I said that you'd crawl around the world just to touch MSD on the ankle or something. You think he can do anything, don't you? Hopefully this isn't the last we'll see of MSD, is it? If this tournament doesn't get rearranged, will we see MSD back?
For sure. I feel this question has been raised even when he was playing international cricket. As long as he is fit and going, yes, the hand-eye coordination and the movement and his six hitting capabilities, it's not the same as it was before. But as I mentioned, the main thing about him is his leadership, and he will for sure stay with the CSK franchisee. And I don't think so, because yes, we saw him running everywhere. He's able to keep, and he's more fitter than so many youngsters out there. So I don't think so. Apart from fitness, there's any other reason for keeping a player out of the competition. We are seeing what Darren Stevens is doing for his county team. He's still playing. He's 44. So why not MSD? Why
45
not,
now? He's just turned 45. It's Darren Stevens. Yeah.
So why not MSD? Like, his presence matters a lot and it is inspiring. Right now also, we heard that he wants first all the players and all the CSK staffs to travel, and he'll be traveling last once they reach their home. So this is the kind of presence he brings. And
I was going to mention that, Naman, because he made a big thing of it this morning. I mean, MSD hasn't, but the press have, that he has basically said he's like the captain on a ship, isn't it? Going down with a ship almost. He's getting everybody else off that ship before he leaves it. He's looking after his team.
Absolutely, yes. We can criticize him every day. Like, he's not the same anymore. He doesn't hit too many sixes or maybe takes too much time. But all I am talking about is his presence matters a lot, not for the team, also for the youngsters around him. Because also after every match, we see him talking to the youngsters. We saw him talking to Azharuddin. We saw him talking to Shah Rukh Khan from Punjab. So this is the aura which he brings around him. So I won't be surprised if he plays next year also.
Neil's joined us as Sunrisers Hyderabad fan. Just before we wrap up, Neil, I was just going to ask you, all three of you, for your best memories of the IPL so far, and maybe your star player from the IPL's first half, hopefully, of this year's tournament. If I was to ask that to you, Neil, what would be your favourite moment of the competition that we've had so far?
I think possibly Devdutt Padikkal's 100, which I thought was absolutely superb. And I like the way that Kohli gave him a little bit of a scare that he was going to run out of runs and balls to actually get there while still helping him along. He's someone who has really sort of brightened up the last two IPL seasons, or one and a half, and someone who we see a really good future for.
He's a terrific player, isn't he? I really like watching Devdutt Padikkal. And you mentioned Kohli there, Neil. RCB were going great guns in this first half of this tournament. If it doesn't get rearranged, you know, Virat will be sitting there thinking, am I ever going to get my hands on this trophy? We talk about it all the time, that it being the one thing missing off his CV, really, that he's never lifted the IPL. He was, I'm not necessarily on course to do so, but they were certainly in contention this time.
Yeah, I mean, apart from the IPL getting called off halfway through, it was also the fact that they seemed to finally sort out their team selection. We all thought it was same old RCB when Carl Jameson was signed, you know, sign up for big money, the guy who performed against India in whatever format just before the auction. But actually, he was superb. Bringing in Maxwell, despite flattering to deceive on numerous occasions in the IPL previously, he was excellent and really freed up both Kohli and ABD, where they didn't have to worry about preserving their wicket as much.
I saw somebody came up with a really good point the other day. I can't remember who it was to attribute it to them. They said Glenn Maxwell, when he's been with Punjab Kings, he's the big fish. Even in a franchise team, he's a big fish. At RCB, he's just one of many stars. And they felt that maybe played to him. He didn't feel the pressure on him to be the star performer because he's got ABD, he's got Virat Kohli, he's got others in that batting lineup. So he's just one of a team and maybe responds to that a little bit better.
I think that definitely could have helped, although he still had a massive price tag, bigger than he's had before. So that was always going to be weighing on him. I think moving him up the order, rather than seeing him as this flashy guy who can hit a few big sixes, he was given the responsibility of building an innings and holding it together all the way through along with Virat to give others the chance to have the little cameos. And that seems to have suited him a lot more. We've spoken a lot about people like Dawid Malan, who has to come in high up the order because he takes a bit of time to get going. And then when he does, he's absolutely amazing. Maxwell, for all his explosiveness, seems to have shown that as well. When he was given the responsibility of only getting a few balls to smash sixes last season with Punjab, he really seemed to struggle with that. And with Delhi before as well. So having him as that guy who can bat almost all the way through has really helped. I mean, he's a guy with, I think, 3 international T20 centuries. You know, you're getting towards McCullum and Gale standards when you get that many.
The lad can play. He can certainly play cricket, can't he, Glenn Maxwell? Nakul, comes across to you for your favourite memory of the half of the IPL that we've seen so far.
It was Karan Pollard's 87 out of 34 balls against Chennai. I was on comms for it. The most extraordinary heist. They needed 15 and over for the last 10 overs. He took hold of that game with his skill, with his ability to hit sixes off almost any delivery, his range of stroke, his ability to transfer his size and his power into distance and contact, and his aura. It was one of those strange situations where the situation was mathematically unlikely, but you sort of expected it to happen because of the sheer presence and aura of Kyron Pollard.
And what made that even better for me, Knuckle, was that they were running out of batsmen. If he'd got out in that chase at any stage, but obviously particularly towards the end, there wasn't really too many to come after him. The game would have been lost. It was all on his shoulders, really, wasn't it?
Pretty much. There was a cameo from Hardik Pandya. Nisham got out first ball trying to hit a six, which is completely fine. But then double Kulkarni and Rahul Chahar, Jasprit Bumrah, Trent Bolt. You're not expecting anything from them, but it doesn't matter to Kyron Pollard. And he is very happy to take that responsibility on his shoulders and still to play freely despite it. And he is one of the greatest T20 players of all time, and he showed it. I heard you mention, you know, player of the first half of the tournament. For something else, I actually did a team of the first half of the tournament, which might well end up as being the team of the tournament. But
go for it.
Following the proper rules for overseas players. So Prithvi Shaw and Devdutt Padukone opening, which is really harsh on Shikhar Dhawan, but I've gone for the extra strike rate. Moeen Ali, who I think has been superb for CSK. Ambati Raidu, who I think has been not a revelation, but has refound some of his best form. AB de Villiers keeping. Kyron Pollard captaining. Ravindra Jadeja, Rashid Khan, fourth overseas player. Harshal Patel, Avesh Khan, Jasprit Bumrah.
So I'm just writing these down. I want to keep a record of this, Knuckle. And Jasprit Bumrah. I like that team. Let's flip back to Neil then. You've heard that 11 Knuckle's done. Prithvi Shaw, Devdutt Padukone, Moeen Ali, Ambati Raidu, ABD, Kyron Pollard, Ravindra Jadeja, Rashid Khan, Harshal Patel, Avesh Khan, and Jasprit Bumrah. Would you make any differences to that, Neil?
The only guy that I would potentially add is Varun Chakravarty, who I think has been consistently excellent for a couple of seasons and was, for me, pretty much the only bright spark in the KKR shambles this season. He's been absolutely, absolutely brilliant. But otherwise, I really can't argue. Just a note on Pollard, which I don't see said often, is my favourite thing about him is whatever the strike rate when he comes in that's required, he will shoulder arms to a good ball or a ball that doesn't have the percentages because he has that confidence that...
He trusts himself, doesn't he? And I imagine, Neil, as well, the fact that he's done it so many times now, you just go back inside your head. I mean, you hear psychologists talking about this, that you go back and you picture a previous success, and he's got many of those.
Yeah, it's just happened again and again and again. I think one of my first memories of the IPL is probably from around 2012, the final against CSK, where Mumbai were something like 6 or 7 down after about 8 overs. And he dragged them through by playing sensibly before exploding. He is not, despite his size, he's not a guy who just goes out there and swings for the hills every ball. He is so calculating. And I don't think that he gets the praise sometimes because he's so strong, because he can hit the ball so far. It's a bit reminiscent of Mark Nicholas talking about West Indies before the last T20 World Cup. He is a supremely smart, calculating player in this format.
Now, man, let's come across to you. Your favourite memory of the half of this IPL 2021 tournament that we've seen?
Not memory as such, but I just was so impressed and with Chetan Zakaria. I feel the matches he has played and the number of wickets he has taken. I always look after the youngsters because I feel these are the products what IPL wants. We'll be always treated to our eyes with good performances of ABD, Pollards and Rohit Sharmas. They are going to come and hit sixes and everything, but I feel the IPL is all about the products coming out of it. Last year we saw Devdutt Padikkal and Natarajan, and this year, the likes of Avesh Khan and Chetan Zakaria, they have been just brilliant and coming from small towns and performing like this. They don't even know what amount of money they are going to get and what name they are making for themselves. But it was so innocent, and you always saw him smiling even after going for runs and bowling along with side of Chris Morris and sharing the dugout with Butler. It was a dream come true for him. So I always look up to these youngsters, how they use this huge platform set for them and make their name before representing their own country. Also, I was so impressed with Mohammad Siraj as well. Yeah, he was not like this in the death overs, especially last year in the last editions of IPL. But overall, I am quite happy for Chetan Zakaria. Also, knowing his story, what he has gone through, it's just a brilliant IPL for him. I wouldn't be surprised him going a lot in the next auction when teams are going to refresh their players.
Yeah, I really liked watching him. He'll be one of my memories of this tournament as well. Zakaria running into bowl, giving it everything, but a massive smile on his face. And as you say, given the personal tragedy, his brother committing suicide just a matter of weeks before the tournament started, and where he's come from, the same with Jayasvil as well. We talked about him on the podcast as well. The kind of rags to riches stories that the IPL brings up and how these youngsters come in and they perform, and it's the tenacity and the fight that they show to get to that stage and then making the most of it when they get there. There's some really fantastic stories the IPL produce. And Zakaria is definitely one of those. Now, Naman, you heard Knuckles' team of the tournament that he's picked. I really like this team. I'll read it out again so that you just get a bit of a refresher. Shaw, Padikkal, Moeen Ali, Rayadu, De Villiers, Pollard, Jadeja, Rashid Khan, Harshal Patel, Avesh Khan and Jasprit Bumrah. Anybody that you'd want to see in there that Knuckles not picked?
Yes, I would agree with Neil. I will definitely put in Tripathi in place of Rayudu. And also, I feel Harshal Patel gets a bit one-dimensional, and also he is more productive at the death, not with the new ball that much. So I feel Bumrah and Harshal Patel makes a kind of a same kind of bowler handling the new death, the death overs. So I will bring someone like Zakaria or Mohammad Siraj to just be more impactful with the new ball in the first 6 overs in place of Harshal Patel. Rest, all the team looks balanced and super impactful.
Yeah, well, we've made up there with the additions. I think we've made a very nice little squad. One quick question to you guys before we finish off. On a scale of 1 to 10, I like these kind of questions on the scale of 1 to 10. 1 being the IPL 2020, 1 is doomed and we'll never see it resurface. 10 being the IPL 2021 is definitely going to get played at some stage during the rest of this year. Where would you put yourself on that spectrum, Neil Varani?
I think it's an 8. Just due to the money, but I don't know if it's going to be in the same format. And I'm wondering if the foreign players are all going to come back and whether they'll have to do a replacement auction in the way that the PSL did.
Knuckle.
4. I think that while the money is, of course, a significant factor and a far-reaching one, as you and Neil have talked about, I just don't think the logistics work. And I think ultimately they're going to have to admit defeat.
No, man.
Yeah, I'll go with 9. I definitely feel it is going to happen. Specifically, where the World Cup is going to be hosted, I feel that will be the location and the host where the IPL is going to be conducted. So I definitely feel that Ganguly and everyone are trying to work it. And also, I'm surprised why they have not considered West Indies as an option, because CPL is going to be held over there in the month of August. So post-CPL, even IPL can be conducted over there. But I am definitely sure that it will be conducted and it will be finished before the World Cup.
Naman Shah, I love you. You're always positive. I always like that. 9 from Naman. Nothing would surprise me with this IPL. I think we could see it or we could not see it. I don't think any story that comes out of this IPL would surprise me whatsoever. My thanks, as always, to Knuckle, Naman and to Neil for joining me on today's podcast. And let's not forget Abhay, Abhishek, Anand, Claire, Dan, Deepak, Harry, Raj, Rito and Sam for their contributions as we've gone through the first half of IPL 2021. They'll all be back with me if the competition ever does get resurfaced and rejigged and played, whether that be September or whenever else. My thanks to you out there for listening for this first half of this podcast series. Also, thank you to Who Knows Wins for their support of our daily podcast going through this. All that leaves me to say is thank you to the IPL organisers for getting us half a competition, because it wasn't the easiest one to arrange, and I think we were inevitable it was called off in the end, but great efforts to put that on. And thanks obviously mostly to the players for entertaining us in the first half of IPL 2021. And good luck to all of you out there as well. The Indians out there living in India, whether that be Naman or any of our other fan badges or all of the listeners as well. Hopefully this COVID spike disappears very, very soon and you can get back to normality and get back to safety. But look after each other. Stay strong, stay safe. I've been James the Cricket Badger. I won't see you again tomorrow, but hopefully see you again very, very soon indeed. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Brought to you in association with Who Knows Wins. Put your money where your mates are and play along with the Cricket Badger. Thanks for listening. We'll be back every day throughout IPL 14. Have your say on Twitter on @cricket_badger. We'll see you again tomorrow.
Podcast Network.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.